The following introduction should be sung to the tune of My Favorite Things. I'm just going to recite. Golden fried chicken and a large three-bean salad, coleslaw and cornbread inspired this ballad. Bright lime green jello leaves folks wonder struck. These are the things of a classic potluck. Still, potlucks can be anything but lucky, so we brought in a man with some sure-fire recipes. Chris Kimball is host of PBS's America's Test Kitchen. He came to our studios here at NPR West with dishes from his new book, Cook's Country Best Potluck Recipes. Good morning, Chris. I mean, quite a spread.
I am bringing you a potluck supper, except that we cooked all the food. It was one person doing the cooking.
In the spirit of potlucks, though, we reached out to lots of other people, Morning Edition listeners via Facebook, and asked them to share their favorite potluck stories.
Sarah, I'm from South Florida, and I work at the University of Florida. We encourage our foreign students to bring a dish from their country. We've had some good, some bad, and some just plain weird. The chicken feet stick out the most with me.
Chicken feet, right. How about some eggs instead? Chris Kimball says nothing says potluck like deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs, the word devil goes back to the 18th century, and it meant hot or spicy, because I guess hell is hot. But the funny part is, in a church, they wouldn't call them deviled eggs. They call them dressed eggs because they didn't want to use the word devil.
This recipe for deviled eggs includes sour cream, mayonnaise, vinegar, spicy brown mustard, and this tip for hard boiling the eggs.
We found that if you put the raw eggs in cold water, bring it up to a boil, put the top on, let it sit 10 minutes. Take it out and put it in ice water immediately. It works every time, so that's great. And you don't get that greenish tinge.
Before we dig in, a little history. The potluck dinner actually goes back to Elizabethan times.
People cooked over a hearth, and they had a big cast iron pot, and whatever they happened to have in it at the time, if an unannounced guest showed up, you get the luck of the pot.
One thing I love is a New York Times article from the late 1800s reporting on the news, the social news, society news of a potluck dinner. It seemed quite high class.
In that particular story, they sort of claimed to invent the potluck supper, but instead of bringing over a 24-hour salad or some little fried chicken, they were doing some serious cooking, some of it French. And then, of course, America's the great, you know, leveler. And so by 1900, both picnics and potlucks became sort of for the common man, not just for the rich and famous.
This is Monica in San Francisco. My family has an annual pork fest where everyone brings their favorite pork dish to share. One year, we got almost entirely dishes with bacon, and that was the year we discovered it's possible to have a bacon hangover.
Our pork dish is Lexington pulled pork. Chris Kimball says a lot of pulled pork recipes have one thing in common. They require hours of tedious grilling. His method is a lot easier.
You take pork butt, which is the shoulder cut, just go back a second into history. Butt referred to a barrel, which they store pork in. And the expression, scraping the bottom of the barrel, that comes from the pork barrel. So in the basement, you keep salted pork, and that's what you ate all winter. And by spring, you'd scrape the bottom of the barrel. So this is what people did with the shoulder cut. They barbecued it. We do it 2 hours on a grill, and then we put it in an oven for 2 hours, a low oven, and wrap it up. And the secret to this is always cook the pork to almost 200 degrees. So it's very convenient to do.
This is Adam Pratt in Smolin, Kansas. My parents used to have a church potluck called Soup Slop Soda Slurp. Everyone bought one can of soup and one can of soda, and they were all opened and mixed together in one big pot of soup and one big cooler of pop.
A slightly more elegant but still strange-sounding dish is maple sausage and waffle casserole. It's a spin on a breakfast casserole known as strata,
which is eggs, creamer, milk, and bread. So we did a version of this, which used frozen waffles, and then we have breakfast sausage, and it used eggs, of course, and milk.
As you were speaking, I've cut a square out, and I've got it on the plate, and I have to say that I was pretty leery of the idea of syrup mixed in with the eggs,
syrup, yeah.
Everything all mixed together. But this is delicious. I'm not sure on any given day in my house I would want to wake up and eat this.
This is not every day.
Feels like, first of all, I would have a heart attack. Right. That's right off. But that you would allow yourself the pleasure of it at a potluck.
It's a potluck.
Our final recipe is a dessert whose name evokes the spirit of a summer potluck, the Lazy Daisy Cake.
In the Depression, you had very few ingredients available. So what they'd like to do is create very different flavors using simple ingredients. Mm-hmm. So you take sugar or brown sugar, and this is a cake where you broil the top. And that essentially caramelizes the sugar. So you get a very different flavor from the sugar than if you hadn't done that. It's also called a hot milk cake. When you add the milk, it's hot milk. But what it does, it gives you a very soft crumb, tender crumb. It's sort of like what you expect from Entenmann's coffee cake. It's that kind of very soft, tender cake.
Why does hot milk make cake soft rather than cold milk?
I have absolutely no idea. You finally asked me a question I can't answer. It must have to do with the gluten in the flour. I'm sort of half making this up. I'm not quite sure why it works, but I'm glad it does.
Hi, this is Jonathan West. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. One summer, I was invited to a no olive oil potluck. Each guest prepared a dish using absolutely no olive oil. The potluck was dreamy, resembling a 1950s trailer park gathering, including Jell-O and things made with Wonder Bread. It was a sterling moment full of pleasure and guilt.
Thanks to all of you who shared your potluck stories on our Facebook page. You'll find recipes at NPR.org. And thanks to Chris Kimball, whose new book is Cook's Country Best Potluck Recipes. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly.